Christian, but I know he's been faithful to the Lord a long, long time. And he can say something like what Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's a great example, and we want to be those good examples to each other. We're going to talk about one of those good examples this morning. I want to share with us a lesson that's taken from Genesis chapter 37 on to about Genesis chapter 50, the end of the book. We're going to talk about one of God's great servants, Joseph. And I want to share with us a lesson that I've entitled, Excuses That Joseph Would Not Use. Now, if you're not familiar with Joseph of the Old Testament, you need to get familiar with him. You know, when you open your Bibles and you begin reading in Genesis, you learn about Adam and Eve, and then you learn about Noah. And then you're going to learn about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But when you get to Genesis chapter 37, the account really begins following the life of this Joseph. And he is instrumental in helping to save God's people. Remember, God had made a promise to Abraham. A promise about how all the world is going to be blessed by your seed. Well, folks, if it wasn't for someone like Joseph, that seed, that line of people would have died out. But this great servant of God was instrumental in bringing about their salvation from a drought that would last for 7 years, a famine upon the land. We begin reading about Joseph when he was a young man. In fact, in chapter 37, we learn he was about 17 years old when his father sent him to check on his 10 older brothers, see how they were doing and how the sheep were doing. Now, by this time, his older brothers despised him. They knew that Joseph was Daddy's favorite. Jacob had given him a coat of many colors to show it to everyone. And when they saw him coming, they devised a plan to kill him. Reuben was able to intervene and get them to throw him into a dry pit, a dry well, and leave him there. Reuben's idea evidently was to go back and rescue him after he had taught him a lesson. But when Reuben was gone, those brothers saw some Ishmaelites. Later they're called Midianites, going on their way to Egypt. And they brought Joseph out of that pit and sold their brother into slavery. This 17-year-old man was taken down to Egypt. And there he was bought by Potiphar, captain in the guard of Pharaoh. Now God was still with Joseph, made everything that Joseph did prosper, and others could see it. Potiphar put everything in his house under the charge of Joseph. But then there was a problem. Potiphar's wife, she desired Joseph. She kept pressing him. And even though Joseph refused her advances, explaining, I cannot do this evil and sin against God, she wouldn't stop. One day when he was in the house alone, she got a hold of his garment and he had to run out, leaving the garment behind him. And this woman scorned, lied about Joseph, said that he had pushed himself upon her. Only her scream saved her. And so her husband had this young man who'd done nothing wrong cast into prison. But still, God is with him. Later, a couple of the servants of Pharaoh are cast into that same prison, and Joseph is able to interpret their dreams. I won't tell you the dreams, but one of them ended up being put back into his position in Pharaoh's house. The other was executed. Joseph told them that that's what their dreams meant, and it comes to pass. He asked that butler, "You remember me?" But he forgot. 2 more years passed. You know, that didn't seem like a long time. Sometimes when you look back 2 years, you're in prison. 2 days is too long, let alone 2 years. But when Pharaoh is given a dream by God, a couple of them actually, that would speak of the years of plenty and the years of famine that were going to come, the butler remembers Joseph. So he is brought and he tells the meaning of Pharaoh's dreams. And then he even tells the king, here's what you need to do to save the land, save the people. You need to get a good man and have him over all of this work. And you store up during these years of plenty. So when that famine comes, you will be able to survive. And Pharaoh says, we're not going to find a wiser man than you. You are going to do it. You, in fact, are going to be the leader of Egypt. The only one that's going to be above you is me. And in this way, God is going to be able to save his people. Because those children of Jacob, the children of Israel, are going to hear that there is food in Egypt, and they're going to come. Eventually, Joseph is going to reveal himself to them, and Jacob and all his people are going to be brought to the land of Goshen. There, God's going to keep them for a number of years until they grow into a great nation. And that gets you into the book of Exodus, and that's another sermon. But here's Joseph going through all of these things that he goes through. And he never wavers in his faithfulness to the Lord. I want us to think about some excuses that this Joseph did not use. And I hope in doing so that they will encourage us in our faithfulness. That when we are tempted, that when we are going through difficult times, we will not use these excuses as to why we're turning away from God or falling away from his church or no longer following the Lord. And if we've never obeyed the gospel, we won't use these excuses as to reasons why we've never obeyed our Lord. So with that in mind, and thinking about all that Joseph went through, let's notice these excuses, and I've got 5 of them that I want us to address. The first excuse that he did not use was the excuse of youth. The excuse of youth. You know, a lot of people think that, hey, when you are young, that's the time. That's the time when you are to sow your wild oats, we say. That's when you can live any which way you want, and you get experience that way, right? And so how are you going to know right from wrong unless you do some of the wrong? And in youth, that's when you do. 17 years old, when he's sold into slavery, taken away from his family, his friends, everyone. I think it's interesting. You think about him being 17. Isn't that about the time that people a lot of times will go away to college? Or to trade school, or into the service, 17, 18, 19 years old. And there are a lot of people who think, hey, college, that's the time. That's when you party, right? I mean, you get in one of those sororities or those fraternities, and I mean, you just outdrink everybody else. You learn in that first semester, you know, when the grades come in, you mean we're here to study? That they hold you accountable for all of this stuff. You know, but young people think, hey, is that the way God wants us to live? You know, Joseph could have done that. And he could have said, hey, I'm young. Aren't young people supposed to be this way? But he doesn't use an excuse like youth. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and beginning at verse 9, we read these words. Solomon writes, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes." You just stop there. It feels like the writer's saying, hey, you're young, do whatever you want. But the thought doesn't end there. Notice, young people, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. God's not saying, hey, you're young, we're not going to hold you accountable. No. Those teen years, those young adult years, we're still accountable to God. Once we become accountable people, we will be the rest of our days, as long as we have our minds. And so he tells them, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And then he goes on into chapter 12 and says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why? Because now you're laying a foundation for the rest of your life. You know, those years, about 18 to 25, we're making decisions that are going to affect the rest of our lives. Am I going to go on to school or not? Just into the workforce. Where am I going to go to school? Where am I going to go to work? Who are going to be my friends? Where am I going to live? Who am I going to marry? Folks, those are decisions that are going to affect the rest of your life. And we make them in youth. And the old devil, he loves to get his hooks in people when they're young. So that they feel trapped. That they can't break away. That he's got them. But the Lord says, in those days, you lay a foundation for the rest of your life. When you're making those decisions, you keep the Lord first in all those decisions. Oh, how wise we'll show ourselves to be. But Joseph didn't use that excuse. I'm young, so I can do whatever I want here. And you know, he didn't even use the excuse of no one else will know. I think sometimes that the devil tempts people, young people in particular, that way. You're away from home. Mom and dad will never find out. Their friends will never find out. And so you go ahead. There's Potiphar's wife. 17-year-old boy. Probably a handsome fella. She desires him. I don't know what she looked like. She may have been a beautiful woman. But he says no. You know, that's always seems like a temptation. No one else will know. In Proverbs, that immoral woman is tempting the young man. And she says to him, Proverbs 9 and verse 17, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Here's this temptation. But folks, Joseph knew, like we need to know, God always knows. We're not going to fool him. And so we need to remember that youth is not an excuse. In fact, Paul's going to write to Timothy and he's going to tell him, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. In other words, in every part of your life, you be an example of what a follower of Christ should be. I just mentioned a few moments ago our senior members and how thankful I am for them. I want our young people to know how much I appreciate them. We know the challenges that you're going through, the difficulties that you face in youth. And we appreciate so much your devotion to the Lord in the days of your youth. Don't use youth as an excuse to keep from serving God. Here's the second excuse that we notice that Joseph did not use, and that's the excuse of all religions are the same. Here's Joseph. He's an Israelite. He's been taught to serve God, the God of heaven. But now he finds himself in an Egyptian home. The Egyptians have their own religion. They've got all these different gods that they serve, all these different temples around. Everybody else there is worshiping them. It would have been very easy for Joseph to have said, hey, you know, when in Rome, you do like the Romans do, right? And so I'm in Egypt. I'll do like the Egyptians, and I'll serve their gods. After all religions are about the same. Joseph would not give in to that temptation. He continues to remain faithful to the Lord. I think about this temptation today and how people in our world, sadly, members of the church at times, use this excuse. You know about all religions are the same. Move to a new area, and instead of seeking out the church of Christ, the church that he purchased with his own blood, go to this one here. It's a lot closer. So I'm going to go there. Or, you know, I like going to this one. They've got a great program for the young people. And I just love that, you know. Or, you know, I hear this sometimes. Yeah, I understand it's a little different, but it just makes me feel good. I just feel good when I go there. And so I'm going to keep going to this denominational group. And then people say, after all, you know, they're all about the same. You might ask, well, are there differences? Well, not really. And then you start asking, well, do they do this? No. Do they do this like this? No. Well, there's a lot of difference. But people don't want to see that because they justified. Here's their excuse. They're all about the same. But folks, that's just not the case. You see, in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, Jesus will tell us, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. When people go away from God's word and they begin following the teaching of men, of people, what does that say about our worship? What's the Lord say about that kind of worship? It's vain. It's meaningless. It's empty. Joseph wouldn't use that excuse. Folks, we must listen to me, Christians. Listen to me, members of the church. We must understand the exclusive nature of our Lord's church. You can say amen when you want to. I'll say it again. We must understand the exclusive nature of the Lord's church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus is going to say that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what rock? The confession that Peter had just made. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon this rock, I will build my church. My church. Not my churches. Folks, Joseph didn't use the excuse, all religions are about the same. And neither should we. Here's the third. Joseph didn't use this excuse. The excuse of unfairness. And I suppose of all the excuses that maybe people can come up with, this is one that if anybody could have used it, Joseph could have. I mean, he's a good young man. A faithful son to his father. 17 years old, his brothers sell him into slavery. And then he's going to be put into prison unjustly. He hadn't done anything wrong. Do you know how long he was there? 13 years. 13 years he is a slave or he is in prison. He was 17 when he was sold into slavery. He is 30 years old before he is taken before Pharaoh. 13 years. And he's done nothing wrong. Every day he could have used the excuse, God, why are you letting this happen to me? Why am I going through all these? I didn't do anything. I don't deserve this. This isn't fair. Joseph understood something every one of us need to understand about this life. It ain't fair. And no one said that it would be. God didn't say that life was going to treat you fair. In fact, the Bible teaches us life's going to be hard. And a lot of times, it isn't fair. But you know, there are many people who have allowed what they consider unfairness in life lead them away from God. They reason, you know, I've been trying to serve the Lord. I go to church. I read my Bible. I pray. And yet I'm still going through these difficulties. Or this bad thing happened to one of my family members. And it's just not fair. We talked last week about going through the hard times. And how the devil, he uses those to try to pull us away from God. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to use an excuse like this. So you'll leave the Lord. God wants us to draw ever nearer to him. And that's what Joseph did through these difficult times. When life is unfair, he kept getting closer to the Lord. Relying upon him more. Not less. You know, in Psalm 73, the psalmist there, David, he kind of wrestles with this idea. Life's not fair. It's not fair that good people are made to suffer or go without, and the wicked people, they seem to prosper and don't have any troubles at all. Verses 2 and 3, he writes, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. This almost made me fall away or turn away. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." To him, that's not fair. But you read a little later then, as he's working through all of this in this psalm, and you get to verse 16 and 17, and he says, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I couldn't understand it." But look at verse 17. "Until." Oh, now you understand it? Yeah. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end." Wasn't envious of the wicked anymore. All life is unfair. Sometimes the wicked do prosper upon this earth. But David says, "I understand now. Because there's coming a day of reckoning. That judgment day. And that is when things will be fair. Will be just." And he says, I understood their end. I knew where they were headed. That's not what I want. I wasn't envious of them anymore because I understood their end. Folks, let's not use the excuse that life is unfair to keep us from serving God or keep us from obeying our Lord. Here's the next one, and that is the excuse of hypocrisy. Again, I think Joseph could have used this, if anybody could have. I mean, he was a child of Israel. Remember his daddy, Jacob? His name was changed to Israel. He has these 12 boys. They are the people of God. God gave the promise to Abraham, and then to his father, Isaac, or grandfather, Isaac, and then to his father, Jacob. And now, here he is, an Israelite, one of the people of God. But look at his family. Couldn't Joseph have said, hey, if that's what God's people are like, why would I want to be that? I mean, did you see what my daddy did to his brother Esau? The way that he deceived him? Is that very Christian? And you know my oldest brother Reuben? Remember what happened to him and Bilhah, what they did? That's a big no-no. And my brother Judah and what he did to his daughter-in-law Tamar? Why, that, how can that? And my brothers Simeon and Levi? Why, they killed a whole village of men. That's what God's people are like? Why, if they're hypocrites like that, I don't want to be a part of it. Joseph didn't do that. Joseph, in his mind, had determined, I will serve the Lord. Doesn't matter what others might be doing. I'm going to serve the Lord. I told this to the Golden Owlkiers a few weeks ago. I'll tell you, and I'll just warn you ahead of time, it'll sound harsh at first. But you got to remember, this is probably 50 or 60 years ago. And this elder I'm going to tell you about, he was just blunt. He wasn't concerned about tact. He probably never even heard that word. But I went to visit a member of the church. He told me, said, Tim, I wasn't always faithful to the church. In fact, I left the church. And one of the elders came to visit me. And he talked to me about it. And I just told him, I said, I'm not going there because there's too many hypocrites in that church. And he said, that elder told me. He said, Shorty, you can either sit with them for an hour on Sunday or you can sit with them in hell for eternity. He said, that woke me up just like that. Now, some people might be offended by something like, I don't know. But what he said was true. What he said was, are there hypocrites in the church? I suppose so. You can fool this old preacher. Our elders are wise men, but I suppose you can fool them. You can fool people, but I know one you can never fool. And that's our Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, we read, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. God knows whose his are. And we don't have to worry about that. I'm not going to let the actions of someone else keep me from my faithfulness to the Lord. Joseph would not use the excuse of hypocrisy. And then finally, he wouldn't use the excuse of being forsaken. And again, I suppose that if anyone could have used this, it was Joseph. Alone, there in Egypt as a slave, later as a prisoner, those 13 years, all by himself. It would have been easy to give in to the temptation of thinking, nobody cares for me. God doesn't even care for me. If he did, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be going through all these things. But he doesn't give in to that temptation. You know, sometimes in this life, people do. Members of the church may feel forsaken. We might feel forsaken from our brothers and sisters in Christ. We might feel forsaken by God at times. And I understand those feelings are real. But I want you to know something. Even if you feel that way, it's not true. Because our God has promised, I'll never do that. I'll never forsake you. So even if we may feel forsaken, we can know we are not. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 8 and 9, Paul would write about some of the things that the apostles were going through. Were they tempted to feel forsaken? I'm sure they were. all that they endured. But he writes, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Moses is able to tell the people of Israel, when you go into this new land and you're driving out these nations, know that God is with you. He will not leave you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And then again from Psalm 94 and verse 14. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. God will never forsake us. We might feel that way at times, but we should always know he has not forsaken me. And I will not use that as an excuse. Joseph shows himself to be a faithful servant unto the Lord. And with his good example, we learn so much. And this morning, we've been reminded of some excuses he didn't use. And neither should we. And I hope that we're getting the idea, I am not going to let anything pull me away from the Lord. I'll continue in faithfulness to him. And if I've never obeyed the gospel, I am not going to let anything keep me from it. Because I know the salvation is found only in him. You know, the nation of Japan is an island nation. They get a lot of storms. They get a lot of earthquakes. And as a result, they get a lot of these things called tsunamis. These great waves that come and hit their nation. Over the last few years, they've been hit several times by these tsunamis. And one of the things that these tsunamis have revealed are some ancient markers. They almost look like tombstones that had been covered by ground or by vegetation. And when they looked at them, those markers had an inscription upon them. They'd been there for years, perhaps centuries. But now they've been revealed. And on them, it said, do not build your house below this marker. They tried to give them the warning. But through the years and through their neglect, they were forgotten. And those that built below that marker, they lost their homes. Folks, I'm afraid in our world, people have forgotten about the warning that God has given to us in his word. It's been obscured by the things of this life, and they don't pay attention to it anymore and don't understand. They're in danger of being lost.